you so much on a very nice sunny evening, or it was when I came down here, for joining us for the second in our series of events on city region mayors. The election of these city region mayors, these metro mayors in 2017, mayors across a mix of local authorities in Liverpool City Region, the Tees Valley, Greater Manchester, the West Midlands, Sheffield City Region, the North East, and maybe more places, is a historic moment. I mean, we're a deeply centralised country. Far too many decisions get made in Whitehall about local areas by people who probably don't know those local areas very well at all. And although London has a mayor, a metro mayor at present, and of course Liverpool, the city, has a mayor just next to me. And I know from previous conversations with Joe that actually being a mayor, in your view, you've said, and you'll say it yourself, I'm sure, has made a difference. So we do have mayors around the country, but we don't have many metro mayors, just London. And I think the ability to kind of take decisions about your local area is huge, and being a mayor gives you that ability. I mean, around the world, powerful local mayors with real decision-making powers are the norm. We're unusual in not having mayors. I was seeing a shift around the world, and in fact I was at an event with Benjamin Barber last night, who wrote the book of Mayors Ruled the World. And he was talking about the shift around the world to thinking about mayors as the people who have power to tackle not just the local issues, but actually the global issues, climate change, some of those big issues, because actually mayors of cities and city regions have to get things done. They can't leave potholes unfilled. They can't just let things close. They can't kind of think about the just big principle decisions. They have to get things done, and they have to show results on the ground. And actually, as I say, around the world, what we're seeing is mayors are often being seen as the solution in, at times where national governments are kind of too far from those issues to be able to make things happen. So having a mayor of Liverpool City Region from May 2017 creates new opportunities. I think it creates new opportunities for national profile, for access to public and private money, for international profile, for making sure when you have national conversations about what's happening in local areas, that actually people are thinking about Liverpool City Region, understanding the local issues. And if the London Mayor is any guide, and I believe that you're already on the second round of devolution talks and commitments to talk about healthcare, then actually this mayor, this Metro Mayor, will get more powers. It's going to be an evolving thing. So this is the start of a conversation rather than the end of it. We're an organisation that has argued for metro mayors for years, so we feel very strongly about the opportunities. Nothing is a panacea, but there's huge opportunities associated with this. But if these new mayors are going to realise their potential, there's a strong need for public debate about what they're going to do, what they shouldn't do, what's needed, and what Liverpool City Region really wants. And we did a poll recently of people across all the city regions getting mayors. And what we found is that half of local respondents knew they were going to get a mayor in Liverpool City Region. Oh, that's pretty good. A year out, I'd say that's pretty good. I mean, half don't know. And obviously, as we get closer to the poll, what we'd want to see is that number rise and rise. And actually just more people having conversations, what you want the mayor to do, what you think the priorities are, what needs fixing now, what needs fixing later, what are the things that really matter? So we've undertaken local polling, as I said, in each local area to ask that as well. Not just do you know about this, the metro mayor, but what do you want them to do? And hopefully you can see the results are on your chairs. It's worth a flip through, but worth highlighting, 3 in 5 adults in Liverpool City Region, and that's slightly higher than in some of the other city regions, want their new mayor to have more powers than local council leaders. So a quarter disagree, but actually what you've got is a majority of people wanting these individuals, this individual, to have a lot of power. When asked about the most important priority for their city region, over a third think healthcare is most important. Now I know that's on the cards for coming, but it's not there yet. When you're looking at the other priorities, people talked about housing, they talked about social care, schools, emergency services. Some of these things the Metro Mayor will get to have some control over, some not yet. And perhaps that's something that we want to talk about, you know, where next. But of the things that the Mayor will be able to control, affordable housing, a strategic plan about big developments, big investment in infrastructure, and road and rail were the three things that came top when thinking about the first 100 days, what should the Mayor be doing? So transport, skills, housing, all high on the agenda. But what else should happen? Are they the things high on your agenda? What are the priorities? And we want this to be the start of a conversation that will run for many months. And this will be kicking off, we hope, some of the discussions. And I'm delighted to have a fantastic panel here with me. We've got Mayor Joe Anderson, directly elected Mayor of Liverpool since May 2012, and before that, leader of the council. We've got Professor Janet Beer, who is Vice-Chancellor of the University of Liverpool since last year, after 7 years as Vice-Chancellor of Oxford Brookes, and chair of the Liverpool Knowledge Quarter Mayoral Development Zone Board, which is not a short title, but I believe there's been an announcement about the Knowledge Quarter, I believe, this week. So we might hear more about that. And then Michael Houghton, Managing Director of Process Industries in the UK for Siemens and on the board for Liverpool Superports. So three different perspectives, three really important individuals in these debates. And what we're going to have is a few moments from each of them. We've asked them huge questions and given them 5 minutes each, which is how we like to do these things. So I'll hand over to all of them to just give an initial 5 minutes on what they think the key priorities are for the first 100 days, why they think these issues are so important. And then I want to open up to debate and get some of you talking before we close probably at about 7:15. So that's quite enough from me. Can I hand over to the Mayor?
Okay. Well, I think for me, I'd probably be championing reasonable forms of governance for around about 14, 15 years. In actual fact, since 2001, when they were introduced in the Local Government Act. So it's something that I'm passionate about. I think if you look at emerging democracies, third world countries, that they look to have a mayor as the elected leader. I don't think that, you know, people argue that mayors are too powerful and there's no scrutiny. Well, I think you could argue that that's just as problematic with leaders as it is with mayors. And scrutiny is about the people that are engaged and involved in it. For me, I think mayors are accountable and democratically accountable. This is my second period and I've been elected again, with a clear mandate of over 50% of the vote, and I've delivered on my manifesto commitments. I've set out another manifesto with commitments to deliver in the second term. I've raised, I believe, the profile of the city, and also been able to negotiate with government things for Liverpool in my role as Liverpool Mayor. Of course, the Metro Mayor provides us with an opportunity to do things differently and to take powers away from central government and not from each other. That's the fundamental issue for me, is that there needs to be an understanding of what we do with devolution. It is not about taking powers from Sefton to tell them how to run, for instance, their street scene or their libraries or how St. Helens should run their crematoriums or whatever. It's about drawing powers from central government, powers that we can use for the benefit of the people that live within the city region. That agglomeration of people will be around about 1.5 million people. It's got a bigger GDP than Wales. It's as big as some European cities. So it means that we can actually have the strength to engage with government with a stronger voice, but also engage with institutions to secure funding. One of the things that at the moment we have is a combined authority. A combined authority we've only probably had for less than 2 years. It's something that I argue for many, many years. Manchester's had one for around about 15 years, and they've been able to steal a march because they work together, they share services, they look at using that agglomeration of strength, and I've done that. You have to look at the airport and the money that they receive together from that. Missed opportunities here that we've only just embraced that. But I think because we've now engaged with central government about devolution on the basis of having an elected mayor, we've actually dragged ourselves up and are alongside Manchester. We've actually negotiated in the first tranche of devolution in October, around about £500 million in a cocktail of different funds, the Regional Growth Fund, Strategic Investment Fund, and funds that were in different pots that we've actually been able to pull together. With that money, we've also negotiated what's called the gain share. It's £30 million over 30 years, just under £1 billion worth of money. People argue, well, you know, it's not a great deal. Well, Manchester have got over 3 million people, and it's exactly the same deal. Gain share is what they got, we got. So I think we come out of it quite well. It's not a panacea for all the problems that we face. We're still going to be faced with real challenges in terms of funding cuts. But what it will do is it will give us an opportunity to actually work with the different sectors in health, for instance, which is important to people, higher education, to look at developing skills. But it also means that if we can show to government that we are competent enough in what we do, that we can negotiate more devolution. You know, I want welfare to work better than it currently does, because it's a disaster. I want prison reform to be on the agenda. Health and how we develop health locally is crucially important, because I want better outcomes locally for the people that live within the city region. And I believe all of those things can be achieved. And in simple terms, it is about localism. It's about taking away the decisions that get made about Liverpool City Region by people who've never seen the skies over Liverpool City Region. It means taking away from the mandarins of Whitehall the powers that we can use to benefit ourselves. So that's the opportunity. I believe it gives us a unique ability to actually place, shape and sustain ourselves for the future. And that's what we need to do, because governments are determined to actually take away funding to make sure that cities and local authorities stand up for themselves. And unless we actually are able to create the conditions that create economic growth, stability and jobs, then we will continue. We won't have the money to pay for the services that we value. And that's why it's important that we engage. And I think progressives in different political parties across the spectrum all agree that devolution, localism, real localism, decision making is the right thing and the right choice.
Great, thank you very much. I think talking through there, some of the issues that I'm sure we'll come on to about where you can take decisions locally as opposed to in Whitehall, because you know what's going on, and you know what's going on. So I think some of those services have been interesting to hear people's reflections on to what extent you'd want this Metro Mayor to have kind of more control over some of the services, like prisons, like welfare to work, that often are delivered very locally. But going now to Janet, I'd be really interested in your perspective about, and we asked you to kind of think about some of the kind of key priorities for the Metro Mayor, particularly in the first 100 days when, I mean, this is something you always talk about, first 100 days, but it's a way to kind of get momentum. So I'd be interested in your perspective from the university and from, you know, the city region.
Thank you. So I'm very pleased to be here and part of this event. And I'd also like to thank the Centre for Cities for the national initiative on Metro Mayors. The University of Liverpool supports the centre and indeed is represented on its board. But I think everyone at the university is committed to civic engagement. And we are supporting, with academic insights and evidence, the current agenda on devolution, the city regions and the Northern Powerhouse. And, of course, the elected Metro Mayor for the city region. I've been in Liverpool since February 2015, and with colleagues I've been working hard to put the university at the heart of the powerful partnership that's emerging across the Liverpool City region, and of course I've worked with Mayor Anderson and his team. So we welcome this initiative from the university, and as Alex just said, it's a good time to think about the Metro Mayor at this point. Mayor Jo Anderson has been re-elected for another 4 years, and we have a sense of what has been achieved. So my colleague, Professor Michael Parkinson, recently did some work reviewing the work that Mayor Anderson has been doing over the past 4 years, 2012 to 2016, and identified some key messages from that for the next period, for the next development. I'm relying on Michael for the hard graft, as I do on so many occasions, and so if anyone wants to discuss the detail of this work, Michael, do you want to wave?
He's just there.
I'm very grateful to Michael for being here, because if I get asked questions, I'll simply hand them over to him. But the Mayor has delivered on many of the expectations of senior partners in the city and the city region. Some things could have been done differently, but experience to date makes the people of the City of Liverpool want a Metro Mayor even more, so that's very good news. And the feeling is that the City Region could be a more appropriate scale for an elected Mayor when the issues are strategic and less operational. It's not complex, but put simply, there are more places, more people and more politics to the role when taken across the region. So the mayor needs a good team around them to deliver, and we must be willing to pay for that. In terms of the early days, we know that it's a long-term process, and we can't make the mistake of judging the role too quickly. We need to see how it develops. And so, therefore, the time and support to make it a success will be necessary, because the mayor has to set, sell and deliver the city region's long-term agenda, and make devolution work for the city region with vision, leadership, inclusion and, of course, trust. That inclusiveness, it's about getting all the different parts of the region and the public, private and community sectors engaged. It's about engendering trust as a spokesperson for the whole city region, developing ways of achieving agreement and consensus. The city region has come a long way, as Joe said, in a very short time, working together, but more can be done to deepen that commitment, the trust and the confidence. The mayor will also need to be above narrow interests and speak for the wider piece. And perhaps the most challenging, the mayor will need to be above party in favour of place. So to win hearts and minds, the mayor needs to sell the city region to people inside and out with, and to champion it to national government and international audiences, and also persuade everyone in the city region that it matters to their children's economic future. Not everyone, as Alex has said, gets it, and so those people need to be persuaded too. Priorities will need to be agreed after 2017. The city region doesn't yet have a clearly developed long-term economic strategy with the investment and business cases to develop its key assets. So the mayor must promote the bigger economic picture and get the buy-in of local partners, politicians and places, working collaboratively, persuade colleagues to support a clear set of priorities. So I've already mentioned strategic rather than operational. The mayor needs to stick to the big issues, the high ground of the big issues facing the city region. And the economic development agenda is top of that list. And we all know that we need to work on skills, transport, planning, international promotion and inward investment marketing. And I think that there probably needs to be a single powerful economic development organisation directly responsible to the mayor. We all know the importance of the powerful story, and so the mayor must create an economic narrative for the Liverpool City region which will identify its assets, develop longer term strategic investment and business investment cases for them, and align them with available resources alongside creating a special story about who will live and work here. The spatial strategy needs to identify longer term trends in the economy, which investments will go where in the city region, where jobs are likely to develop, where the housing provision will need to go, and how it will all be connected by public and private transport. And this will be the mayor's story for both local and global consumption. And to ensure that the public and private sector work together, the private sector voice needs to be recognised at the heart of policy making, so the mayor will need to bring the private sector into a place where it can contribute easily and consistently to the strategic priorities. Many private sector partners will offer to help the mayor in such a way, bringing the sectors together. I think we can feel confident about that. So the mayor, the Metro Mayor, embodies devolution and must not be allowed to fail. The mayor needs to recruit a powerful team with the right skills and experience to support them. And let me repeat, we must be willing to pay. So the Metro Mayor, if it's not already an absolutely stupendous ask, must be a paragon of all the virtues. Statesperson like enough to manage the political complexities in the city region, analytical enough to address the wide range of strategic issues in the region, a strategic and proactive actor rather than simply reactive, a good listener to all parts, parties and partners, and a good communicator to sell the city region locally, nationally and internationally. No single person will have all those qualities, which is why effective chief executives surround themselves by clever, effective people, which I'm sure the mayor will. The challenge is big, but the opportunity is compelling. And so on behalf of the University of Liverpool, We fully recognise how important this agenda is. Our fate and future is tied up with the Liverpool City Region's fate and future, and we are ready to help make the Mayor a success, to deliver economic prosperity to all the people and places of the Liverpool City Region. Thank you.
Thank you, Janet. I think covered a huge part of the agenda there, and I think demonstrated quite how high the expectations are of this person and what he or she will need to do. But I think that point about the kind of surrounding yourself with good people and having some kind of clear long-term plans, but some kind of shorter-term wins, I think would be great to come back to. It's interesting when you look in London, one of the lessons, and we did some work on this with advisors, was trying to learn from advisors of the two previous mayors what worked. They said actually getting the right deputy mayors in place, making sure you take time over that, but making sure they're in place with clear remits was key, because actually that's how you can make sure you're really making a difference. So I think it'd be interesting to come back to that. But Michael, last but not least, it'd be really interesting your thoughts from a kind of business perspective on what's this new Metro Mayor going to need to do in the early days and perhaps a bit longer term.
Okay, thanks very much, Alex. I thought I'd, I'm not known to many people in the room, so I thought I'd just introduce myself for a moment or two. I'm Managing Director of a Siemens division called Process Industries and Drives. Siemens in the UK, some of you may or may not have heard of them, but we turn over around about 5 billion. We've got 14,000 staff, we have 500 apprentices, and about 100 graduates at any one time. And if we reach out to the supply chain, we've got about 55,000 people we rely on in that supply chain. That's split across nine divisions, and I'm pleased to be running one of those divisions. Touch everyone's lives in the UK, I guess, every day. From wind power that you see out there, we produce the wind power, wind turbine systems, traffic control systems, much of it's controlled by Siemens. We do healthcare, MRI scanners, they're built in Oxford, energy management, transmission, and also the things that I do is support process industries, that's like oil, gas, chemical, pharmaceutical, those sorts of industries. So quite a wide breadth there. Probably tell from the accent, I was born in the city. I've lived here almost the vast majority of my life. I do travel quite a lot though, and I've spent quite a few years overseas. So that gives you my rounded experience of business, and hence when I was asked the exam question, what would I like the mayor to implement? There was over the first 100 days, I had economic redevelopment or so development as high up on the agenda. I also had infrastructure, and I also had a specific policy around addressing some of the disadvantaged areas in the Liverpool City region, as it'll be. So I'll take each one of those in case. Infrastructure for me. I look at the Liverpool City region as a great step in the right direction in terms of we've gone from just Liverpool to think about the wider region, and with that you get access to critical mass so you can compete as a city better. But I'd actually take that one step further. I look at the Northwest. Whilst I live here, I spend most of my time around the country, but I have an office in Manchester. And it absolutely pains me to see the infrastructure issues and challenges we've got across the region, and I see the Northwest, and the access and the limitations that gives us in terms of the access to the resources. And we have got some great resources across the regions. We've got fantastic universities, we've got catapults, we've got all sorts of resources that make us a very prosperous region. When I think about business, this is a real challenging one. This is the economic development agenda. For me, the mayor's going to get access to things and tools that are going to allow him to, I think, unlock opportunities. He'll have access to the business rates. So I would like to see some sort of special enterprise zone that he could use to attract big business as well as small business to the region. I'd also have incentives for productivity, for continuous improvement. I think this is not widely understood in business. But if you look at a macro level, we punch quite well in terms of a northwest region, and I think we should look, take the opportunity to try and build on this. This will improve the quality of our local people. I'd also take the opportunity in terms of investment in leadership and education skills. I think for too long we've just relied on people to take those sorts of priorities as an own initiative. I think there should be an incentive in the region there. And then finally on that topic, I'd say innovation. Great universities. We've got supercomputing over at Daresbury. We're going to have Sensor City very soon. As a nation, we invest about 1.7% of GDP in R&D, and that's quite poor when you look at the people we're trying to compete with. And I don't know whether we can have an incentive through the mayoral system to embrace some of that innovation to the region. And the last topic I had was something that happened to me just recently. As I say, I live in the city. My mother lives in Walton, where I was born, in the north of the city. And she rang me the other day, a microwave broken. So I was in Jimmy, get home, got to get in a microwave, get the microwave, drop it off. And then instead of going home the way I normally do, I had to drive into town to pick up my wife from the train station. So as I'm driving through Walton, I went past the County Road. Now this is a place I grew up. My mother used to work in County Road. It just struck me the need to give this some sort of special project attention, because it once was a very vibrant place. And I look at it now, and it's a big challenge, Joe. I really think this is a tough gig, this one. How do you redevelop that area? How do you create an environment where business is brought back? We've got the big supermarkets there, which perhaps have made some of the local shops fail, I don't know. I'm not against big supermarkets, incidentally, but it's a real challenge. So I'd have a special project, and I'm sure there are other, suburbs of what will be the Liverpool City region that will need that sort of attention. So I think that's outside my business, and that's not my area of speciality, but it's just needs some attention, in my opinion.
Great, thank you very much. I think a clear vision there of economic development and infrastructure, but also making sure that some of the more deprived areas across the city region are able to get some attention from the Metro Mayor, and whatever he or she does, they'll need to kind of think about that. Thank you. Some great contributions from the panel. I'd be interested in your thoughts now as an audience. So if you could just say, I believe there's a microphone that's about to come round. If you could just say who you are and where you're from when you're asking the question. And what I'm going to do is I'm keeping on talking because I can see many of you perhaps still thinking about a question. And thankfully, because I was just about to intervene and ask a question, there's a question here and a question there. So I'm going to take a couple, come back to the panel. No, in fact, there's one there, three. And that will give you time to think of some more.
Arsene from the University of Liverpool. I think my observations of the debate around city region devolution is a kind of conversation that goes from Whitehall to the city region. And I think we haven't got to the stage yet where that discussion goes from the city region down to its citizens. And I get that we're entering that phase. So it's going to be quite an important phase for the Liverpool city region. I think there's a kind of there's a deficit in the way that we've been looking, because that kind of conversation has been Whitehall to the city region. I think we're focused on economic growth, infrastructure, things like the knowledge course, etc., which are all very, very important. But there's two things missing from my perspective. One is the kind of debate about democracy. So, for instance, where's the debate about Liverpool City Region General Assembly? London's got a general assembly. Why isn't anyone talking about that in the context of Liverpool City Region? And the second deficit, I think, is the way that we haven't really thought about the social economy. Now, talked about how do we kind of redevelop places like Walton? And there's a number of deprived neighbourhoods in Liverpool City Region. And I think the social economy is one way in which you can kind of really stimulate social and economic activity in those places by, you know, looking at those businesses that have got a real social mission, those social enterprises, the role of volunteering, charities, okay. and so on, all those things that make up the social economy.
Okay.
And the last thing to say about that is that I think that the Liverpool City region, the social economy in the Liverpool City region is an asset. Nobody's talking about it. And so there's those kind of two deficits, I think.
Great. Okay, so a great question there about, you know, moving into the phase of engaging with citizens and needing to think about democracy and that the social economy. I'm going to a couple more questions. I'm going to come to the panel and then I'm going to go back out and get a few more questions. There was four hands up. So there's, in fact, more. I'm going to stick with four for the first round and come back. So there's a lady there, a gentleman there and a gentleman there.
Hi, my name's Kim Thompson and I work for the Finsters Trust. So I'll tie in a little bit to the previous question, as in, what do you see the role of the third sector within devolution? How can we support?
Great question. And then there's just somebody just here, and I'll take it back.
Thank you. My name's Nick Webb. I'm from a company called Gorse Cover. We're a public affairs company with a particular interest in devolution and particularly looking at the city regions here and also in Bristol, and you're making a far better shot of it here than they are in Bristol at the moment. At this moment in time, we have a real momentum behind the idea of devolution to city regions. That comes partly because of the personalities involved, and in fact we're in a week where we might not have the same Chancellor by the end of the week. But on a more serious note, we've obviously got a Chancellor at the moment who's very keen on the principle of devolving power. In Greg Clark, we've got a real true believer in decentralisation. I know he's taken the city's portfolio in every role he's had, but again, those personalities will change. The experience from Wales has been that the extent to which more powers are forthcoming varies very much with the personalities in power in Westminster at the time. And in fact, possibly counterintuitively, there's actually been a greater flow of devolution of powers to Wales since the coalition took over in 2010. It's too early to say in the current government. So do you see this as a particular window in which there is an opportunity to maximise the scope for the powers that can come to Liverpool? And how would you look to encourage the ministers of the future to adopt a similar approach to that we've got from Greg Clark?
Lovely. You know what, I'm going to stop at those three and I'm going to come back to the gentleman there and there, because all of you have, many of you have taken advantage of the opportunity to ask more than one question in a question. I do the same myself, but I feel we've got enough questions. So, I mean, on that kind of first issue of democracy and the social economy, Mayor Anderson, welcome your thoughts on
that. I think sometimes, I mean, if I just put it in the context of the mayoral debate around Liverpool, we face the same questions that you're posing now around engagement. And, you know, what you have to remember is that the agenda on devolution is being driven by central government, and the timetable on that is being driven by central government, not by me, not by anybody else. So we either choose to engage or be left behind. And the timetables around devolution are quite simple. Now, you know, for me, all of the things that you talk about, you know, engagement and how you involve people in the processes are important, absolutely important. What we've got to remember, though, is that devolution and what we get from central government is cost neutral to government. So there is no areas of new spend. It's about shaping what we've got now and doing things differently. So within that context, we also have to remember that we can't add another layer of bureaucracy or assemblies or whatever. But I think, you know, I said before about scrutiny being as good as those that scrutinise. On the combined authority, we have a scrutiny panel. Hardly anyone turns up. I have a cabinet meeting every fortnight. Every fortnight, and nobody turns up. I set up, when I became elected as Liverpool Mayor, a scrutiny panel with independent people on it, volunteer sector, third sector, councillors. Hardly anyone turned up. I think out of the 400 questions that I had over a 4-year period, with the scrutiny panel. 399 of them were about bus lanes from the Green Party. That ain't scrutiny. That ain't scrutiny. I'm all for engagement and making people not only invest in the process, but be part of it. And you know, it links into the third sector and you know, the social economy and how we do that. You know, I've already demonstrated that we use the social economy in the third sector in many ways, and in health, and in areas, for instance, of you know, prison reform, penal reform. Third sector can play an important part in that. How we develop new businesses, social enterprises on transport and on other areas, as we negotiate franchises on transport, the third sector can play a role in that. I'm a big fan of it. I've used the Social Value Act to make sure that we can actually deliver more and involve and engage communities. Let's be absolutely clear, our libraries, some of our libraries would be closed now without the volunteer sector and the third sector. Some of the things that we're doing with adult social care and health and mental health, the third sector are involved. So I'm a big, big fan of the third sector and will engage them more, but within the confines that we face. But it's not something that engagement we don't want. The more engagement we have, the better. I'm absolutely committed to that. And I think that point, Nick, then you made about how we, you know, look, someone mentioned it before. I think it was Janet talked about politics and the mayor's got to be above politics. Well, I've got more Tory cabinet members' phone numbers in there than I have Labour members in there, and access to them. And I'll work with anybody for the benefit of Liverpool and the Liverpool City region. And how we show the government that we can use more powers is show the competencies and the ability to actually do it. And if we do that, then more is. It's an evolution process. As I said, let's get one thing clear. We're already delivering. We, if you look at the website, just let me make this point. If you look at Knowsley's website, it'll give you a full recorded version of the combined authority meeting that was held on Friday. Mm-hmm. And you'll see the one before that, the one before that, and the one before that. On Friday, I announced £183 million of growth fund money that was delivered on transport schemes across the region. We talked about using money in terms of skills and employment and apprenticeships, all on the website for you to go and see. The fact is we're doing it, and people can engage in it, and people can see what we're doing. But it should be more open and transparent. But it's up to people to engage in that process, you know, already. It frustrates me when we're making massive decisions, like on Friday, and all we have one guy from Whittle and his wife, and they come every month when we have it, and they film it, just them couple on their own. And we might have a hack from the Echo who just wants to see if there was any guns being sold around the premises or drugs being smoked. I'm being flippant, but you know, the reality is people can engage in the process but choose not to.
Okay, I think, you know, really powerful point there. And this issue of engagement is one that we're hearing discussed across the country, actually. How do you get people talking about this and engage with it? Because it is a big issue. I mean, Janet, from your perspective, you know, on those questions around democracy, social economy, but how do you think you can get people engaged, particularly if it's true this is a particular window of opportunity?
Yeah, I mean, I would like just to talk about it from the perspective, perhaps, and to talk on behalf of the other universities in Liverpool as well, in terms of our contribution.
Mm.
So obviously the University of Liverpool can be a crucible for debate. Also we can make sure that we are bringing the issues to the attention of, you know, the wider population in terms of supplying the evidence and the base that they need on which to, you know, to have an informed discussion. But in terms of the, you know, the 60,000 odd students who live in this city for a major part of the year, I mean, they are very active in volunteering, obviously, and we want to make them even more active in terms of the kind of contribution that they can make. Many, many of our young people want to stay here after they've studied at my university and others, but they have, I think, lacked some of the opportunities that are available in other bits of the country. And we've done some work on this in another arena. So we have to find ways of keeping these bright young people in the city region. Now, I am a broken record on this particular topic, which is that, you know, many of the brightest and best who go to university are adventurous young people, and they travel thousands of miles to go to university. In order to qualify to stay post-graduation in this country, there is a minimum threshold which is deemed to be a graduate salary, which is 21,700 at the moment. And it may be the case that overseas students who are, you know, entrepreneurial, inventive, creative, ambitious, have to go south in order to earn the money to qualify them to stay. So this is a problem, all right? And we need central government to understand that there are regional variations in salaries and indeed in opportunity. So that's one thing. And this is up against, for instance, an offer from Canada, if students go there to study from overseas, that they can work for 10 years. Because which nation in its right mind would turn down the opportunity to have in their workforce a bright young person who has not only paid us to get their qualification, but has been educated up until then at somebody else's expense? This is a free good, in my view, and we need to pay attention to it after this other debate is over. And so the overseas students, that's one thing. Our home students, increasingly they're interested in social entrepreneurship. So these are businesses that have to wash their face, have to make a profit, but they have a social bent. Many of the young people that we educate are really interested in that kind of enterprise. So we have to make sure that we've got the infrastructure to support them, which we are working on at the University of Liverpool, particularly on the enterprise front. And we're being supported by Santander and others in this endeavour. So we need to give them space, we need to give them resource, and we need to really emphasise the huge and joined up benefits of committing their professional lives to Liverpool in terms of the quality of life in the city, the cost of living in the city, which is hugely advantageous for people beginning their careers as long as the opportunities are here, the kind of creative economy, the dynamism of the city region. So I think we need to be more joined up in terms of trying to grow various things by keeping the huge resource that is the massive higher education population in this city region.
Great, thank you. And Michael, just thinking about that kind of the role of the third sector and kind of the social economy, what are your thoughts on how it should be involved in this debate?
For business, it's quite an interesting topic. But I think for my own business, we give all our staff 2 days off a year to participate in CSR type activities, whether it's going to be to a school to be a STEM ambassador, or whether it's to, you know, help some disadvantaged people. Myself, I went on one recently where I was helping, there's a drug rehabilitation centre with a project. They had no project management skills, so we were helping them with this topic. It sounds quite philanthropic, you know, you're out there, you're doing this, but there's also a business imperative. If you look at workforces that do this, they become more engaged. More engaged workforces tend to, by their nature, give you that disposable energy to an effort to perform better in your business life. There's no better example. I think the report was called the McLeod Report. It was commissioned by Lord Mandelson many years ago. But it looked at companies. Why do some companies, when everything looks equal, outperform others? And it comes down to that level of engagement. So for me, I would really lobby hard for the new mayoral, Metro Mayor, to engage with businesses to provide those, you know, CSR type functions. That's a very tactical answer to the question, but it certainly works for my organisation, and you know we're doing quite well.
And I'd be interested in reflections from the audience about how you kind of get this, because I think you're all agreeing engagement matters.
This is around leadership in business, but that will take close cooperation, probably closer than we have today, to the elected mayors.
Great, thank you. There were some further questions, so there's one just at the back there, there's one at the front, and there's one there.
thank you, Jim. My name is Jim Harkins. I'm the Chief Executive of Transport Training Services Group based in Warrington, South Warrington, which is now part of the City Region. excuse me. I started the organisation when I come back for the Gulf War. I was stranded here during the miners' strike, job-wise, and I've adopted this area as my home. In fact, I was even shouting for England last night, but I didn't shout loud enough. I've got five companies now. One of them, which Joe has maybe come across, is called Light Rail UK. We run the Secretariat for the All-Party Parliamentary Light Rail Group at the House of Commons. We were also, as consultants, involved in getting your kit into Edinburgh Trams. So although we're not a big grand company like yourself, we have got a wee bit of influence.
Okay.
The thing that's concerned me is mainly in the transport side. Dave Brown announced the Liverpool City Region transport policy. Mm-hmm. One of the things that concerned us, and concerns government as well, is the elephant in the room, is air pollution. I'm not talking about tailpipe emissions, which can be cured by hybrids, etc., and electric vehicles. The other one is the Oslo effect, which is, for those of you who don't know what the Oslo effect is, it's when the road surface wears out, it goes into the atmosphere. When tyres wear out, and because it's heavy metal, it's more lethal than tailpipe emissions.
Okay.
And I raised this with Dave Brown at a CILT meeting, because your transport policy was rubber wheels, rubber wheels, and rubber wheels. And I raised the issue,
okay,
the fact that you're condemning a lot of your people to a painful death. On the commercial side of the rail, I'm getting there. You've missed an opportunity with Merseyrail. You've got a vertical integrated railway there. It's tram train. I worked on the original Mersey tram, and the prejudice against the people who work there, where your present people at Mersey Travel.
So your core question?
Yeah, my core question, which would be in my first, your first 100, can you revisit Mersey Travel, Mersey Train, to look at tram train? I know there's a school of thought with your advisors saying that Sheffield, etc., but because you've got a vertical integrated, you can have a lower cost tram train, which means you'll be able to get your tram in to
okay.
the city. You'll also be able to get it out to places like Scammersdale.
Great, so can the Metro Mayor look again at this to look at the tram train? Great question, okay. And then there's a lady there, someone down the front, and a gentleman there. We'll take the floor this time.
Good evening. My name is Sandra Oldbaum, and I'm a GP in Liverpool 7, and I'm also one of the mental health leads on Liverpool CCG, which is the clinical commissioning group, and that is a really important body. For those of you who don't know, it's basically the money, the organisation that spends money on all the healthcare, both primary and secondary, in the city. So my question is about the impact on health. Really what the panel would like to see in terms of influencing health at a strategic level. I think it's fair to say that these changes are going to have big impacts on the way health is delivered to the whole population, whether it's from your GP surgery, which might start to look very different, whether it's from secondary care.
Okay.
So I've got particular interest in mental health, but I don't particularly want to focus on that. It's really about your general thoughts about the impact on health and social care.
Great question, thank you. And there's a gentleman here and then a gentleman down the front here.
Can I refer you to...
Can you just say who you are?
Sorry. Oh, sorry. My name's Adrian Swift. I'm a retired town planner who now lives in Crosby in North Liverpool area, I suppose it is, or South Sefton, where there are very big issues about transport infrastructure because of the superport. But my issue, the questions I want to raise, relate to the need for some form of return to strategic land use transportation planning to address the kind of issues we see that are arising from the development of the superport. Now, that also relates to issues of site allocation for various developments and so on. And okay. Here on Merseyside, we've got something underway called the Strategic Housing and Employment Land Market Assessment, SHELMA,
right.
Underway. And there needs to be a very strong relationship between transport investment and whatever comes out of that study. And it also relates to something Michael said, because the fact of the matter is, it's not just Walton
yes.
as a centre. Most of the town centres on Merseyside are in a pretty poor shape, yet they are the centre of transport, hubs for transport, and more importantly, they are potential economic drivers. Mm-hmm. And this is something the Association of Town and City Management, a point they keep making, and it's been rather overlooked by the local enterprise partnership,
okay.
the role of those town centres across the city region.
So there's two points in there, one about the need to return to kind of strategic land use transportation, so links between thinking about transport and land use and being strategic about that, and one about the kind of town centres and making sure that
and
we're thinking about
regenerating
them.
To do with the density and the relationship of
okay.
land uses and accessibility by
okay.
the population, particularly the non-car owning population.
Great.
If we're ever going to move towards a greener environment.
Thank you. And then a question just at the front here, and then we'll come back to the panel, and I'll do one more round of questions. So, just to pre-warn you.
Thank you. I'm Councillor Fred Weavers. I run my own business, and I'll go on your scrutiny committee, and I'll give you a hard time. my concern is that the region, rather than being, if you've got a mayor who comes from Liverpool, and he'd be Liverpool-centric, and sort of projects out of the region will be left going. I'll give you an example. I started a plan to actually regenerate Southport Town Centre,
mm-hmm.
and a cornerstone of that was an energy lagoon. Now, that was on page 20 of your asks from government. But when it came back, it was a barrage across the Mersey. And it's sort of like this far, far better. And if we can get control and reduce the cost of energy in the region, we will attract businesses to our region.
Okay, so a concern about a Liverpool, if the elected person is somebody from Liverpool, whether they'll be too Liverpool centric.
Yeah.
Great, thank you. Michael, shall I come to you first? So some great questions there about air pollution and kind of tram trains, about health and mental health and what changes there will be. Around strategic land use planning and some of those kind of centres that you talked about, and kind of Liverpool centric. So I'd encourage you all you don't need to answer all of those questions. But I'd be particularly interested in some of your thoughts on the kind of the tram trains and those points about those centres and kind of making sure they're more accessible.
Well,
they may not have been the ones you wanted to ask.
No, that's fine. I'll try my damnedest. If I think about infrastructure, I did start off talking about infrastructure being a challenge. For me, HS3 is equally, if not more, important as HS2. I would love to see that connectivity across the whole region to get better access to those resources, so we have got that critical mass. But I think the question about Adrian first of all brought it up, and I think Jim also brought it up about these smaller infrastructure plans, should we say. I genuinely believe there's a place for them. I'm not in a position to talk about the cost of doing those, because they look like they're going to be huge disruptions to the existing infrastructure, and the planning is not like a micro plan. You can't do it in segments. You'd have to take a big decision and maybe reallocate some land that's being used for something else, maybe housing at the minute. So I don't think that's a simple ask, but I do get it. I think joined up communities, if we could just tackle that one problem, I'm sure a lot more good in terms of attracting business would come. If I come back to the question posed around, I think it was by councillor, who was talking about energy. Again, we are moving to these, should we say, distributed energy networks. We're seeing more and more small scale networks, but you can't get away from the fact you've got a huge river water mass out there that could be a bigger prize. And I don't have the maths I don't the data in front of me, but I do get it that we do need to, if we are more in control of our local energy, that works for us, we can start doing things. Is it micro versus macro in terms of investment? I don't know. I really don't know. For my part, I build small power stations and big power stations. So I do both. And we do those smart grids, and we're seeing more and more of that sort of initiative arising. There's a project in Manchester called Triangulum. You might want to take a look at that, and that's looking at how you can get a, should we say, an energy constellation that's carbon neutral across the city. Is a test. We're members of this. I know we've been in discussion with Liverpool in the past about this. I don't know where it's up to at the moment, in all honesty. But yes, I do get this. If I go back to the social care one, I'm sorry, Sandra, was it?
Yeah.
I mean, I can only talk for my own business. Wellbeing is high on our agenda, and we have a specific initiative of wellbeing of our people in offices. But the biggest challenge we find is a lot of our staff work remotely. And how do you offer a well-being service to your staff, right, when they work remotely? No, we're working on it. We haven't given up.
Yeah.
We haven't given it up, but it is a challenge. It really is a difficult issue to get over.
One of the issues to be
And if you, I was once a remote worker,
yeah.
And I can tell you the pressures as being a remote worker when you're writing software. You know, if you crash and lose your a couple of days worth of software, the pressure's on you because your boss thinks you've been in the pub.
Yeah.
there's a lot of pressure.
Yeah,
so I do get it.
Great.
Yeah,
no, that's great. Janet, coming to you, and then I want to come to you, Mayor Anderson, because I think a number of them were kind of thinking about some of the things that could be done mayoral level. But I mean, your thoughts on that Liverpool-centric question in particular, and perhaps the kind of land use. Do you think, you know, this is something that I get asked around the country. Surely if the person is from a particular area, that's all they will think about, whether that's from the city centre or outside, actually.
Well, I think it comes back to the points that I was making earlier. It has to be an inclusive role. It also has to be one where, in fact, you can never, ever afford not to be mindful of the region. So, because it's just natural that people are going to say, well, it's Liverpool centric, etc., particularly if the elected mayor comes from the city. So, you know, we will have to make sure that, you know, it's a bit like in my world, in universities, in the sense the trade organisation for vice chancellors is Universities UK, and it is very easy constantly to be Anglo-centric, to be talking about England, particularly when they are making the weather in terms of legislation. So, we, you know, I'm mindful the whole time that we have to speak on behalf of the four nations, and it's the same kind of challenge.
Okay.
And actually, it doesn't matter how far overboard you go, somebody is always going to feel neglected, unloved, unwanted. So it is a constant battle, but you just have to keep reassuring people.
Yeah.
Just before I hand over to the real expert, in terms of the healthcare question, I just refer you back to Joe's earlier point that this is a cost-neutral exercise for government. There's not going to be more funding. So it's not just healthcare, is it? It's health and social care. And I think at the conference where we were both this morning, Luciana Berger referred to mental health as the Cinderella of Cinderellas in terms of service. And so it's going to be very, very challenging in the city region to get more benefit, to derive more benefit from funding that's going to be flat.
Yeah.
So, but I think, again, as Joe said, we stand more chance of understanding the issues if the planning and the strategic imperatives come from the city region.
Joe, I mean, your reflections on that, and I think many of the questions.
I'm going to try and do probably the impossible, is get through all the questions. Air quality, you're absolutely right, John, that we've got to deal with
Jim.
Jimmy, sorry, apologise. It's my right in the car. I've got my glasses on, you see. So. But you're absolutely right that air quality is an issue. We'll come back and links to the septic issue. And we've got to address it. Now, light rail seems to me something that, if we're serious about getting emissions down, serious about stopping pollution, serious about elderly people and young people dying because of respiratory problems, then we've got to take some radical solutions. And it's one that isn't off my agenda. It's the affordability issue. With that many things happening, whether it's County Road or whether it's Picton Road or whether it's Bootle Street, Strand or whether it's everywhere, we've got to try and find the money to do that. And as Janice has rightly pointed out and repeated my claim, it's not money coming to us from central government. It's about us creating the need to create more money through growth, through new enterprise, through new business rates, through new housing, to enable us to sustain ourselves for the future. The in terms of the air quality, that then governments in the devolution deal are also talking to us about setting up air quality zones. Now for me, that is something that we should look at, and it's something that we should embrace. And we can also look at how we develop things. You know, for me, you know, big diesel trucks coming into the city centre every day. We've got to look at how we can advance things by saying, well, you know, there should be hubs around the city region or whatever where, you know, freight is dropped off and then electric vehicles bring them into the city centre. Or we look at when they're dropped off, it's only certain times a night. We've got to be radical with these solutions, otherwise, you know, we're not going to be sustainable in terms of looking after people's health. And then, you know, the other issue was around superports. Now, the superport, you know, with Ian Marr, I've had discussions with Peel around the problems, and it links into the strength that we have, this together 1.5 million speaking to governments. We are actually starting to win the case for HS2 and HS3. It's absolutely crucial if we are not one of those containers that come into the superport, go out by rail. Incredible, yeah. That in 2016.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when we look at the Oral Cord and how we develop that and invest in that, which we've done, we've got to get a railhead in there to do it. Mm. Now, Peel are working with us to actually, they've done Salford Quays. on the Manchester Ship Canal, and that means that container ships, small container ships, can unload the freight directly from the big vessels onto them and take them up to Salford Quays for distribution. The opportunity with the superport gives us an enormous growth potential here. 5,000 jobs going to be created. But we've got to make sure that if we don't tackle how we get that congestion out with central government about HS2 and HS3, we'll end up with car parks on the M58, the M62. So we've got to convince them of that, and we're doing that, and we've got more chance of doing that by being united as one city region talking together, and that's what we need to do. In regards to Shelmer as well, you know, the issue with regards to that, it's about time that we thought of, you know, that super poor problem. Superport's in Sefton.
Yes.
Now, I could just say get on with it. But the bottom line is we're together on this, and so we'll make that case and that argument together. So that shows that. But Shelmer again, and your plans in Sefton have got to be aligned with our plans, our spatial plans, where we grow business, where we grow housing, and we do it both together. And it, you know, this question around whether, you know, it came back at me all the time, you know, this is about you, Joe. You're too strong. You're too, you know, you're too powerful a figure for Liverpool. Well, that's because it's my job. My job is elected mayor of Liverpool to be powerful and champion of Liverpool, and that's what I've done for 6 years. If I was elected as the city region mayor, I'd be championing the city region. You've got a choice now between three Liverpool politicians anyway, so if you want one that understands the and understands and has got a track record of delivery, someone that understands that Southport is a jewel in the crown of the city region and it needs developed, and that's why we're talking about creating a mayoral development zone from Crosby right the way through to Southport, because I want Southport to be one of the fantastic places to visit. It's one of the best places to visit in Europe, never mind in the UK. So we need to develop that, and we can do it together. So, you know, for me, that's important. And it's not about being Liverpool-centric. If you look at the fact that we've got the combined authority working together, Ian Marr is the cabinet member for skills, employment and training. His job is to do that. Phil Davis from the Whittle is economic regeneration. Andy Moorhead from Heighton is the cabinet member on adult care and social care. Barry Grunwald on housing. So everybody's got a role to play, and it isn't about, you know, one being stronger than the other. It's about making sure that I work with Whittle to drag Whittle up and get the best out of Whittle, and that's why the mayoral development zones for economic regeneration are as important to us. We'll only be able to get stronger and better together, because Liverpool, listen, let me be absolutely clear, if I was to become the city region mayor, Liverpool will continue to grow. the prospects for Liverpool are fantastic. I promise you. I can tell you that. You know, I had a meeting today with somebody that wants to invest £1 billion into a part of Liverpool. We've got announcements to make on the Knowledge Quarter. We've got other announcements. Liverpool is on the up, and it will. Okay. And I want the city region to be on the up and grow as well, because I don't care about boundaries, and neither do you. I care about jobs for my kids and my grandkids, and about a future for our city.
Thank you. Michael, I know you wanted briefly to say something.
Yeah, it was in response to that question about having a mayor that was too strong in Liverpool. The challenge would be is, if you think about it, let's say you put the mayor outside Liverpool, let's say it was in Sefton, would he then recognise the challenges inside Liverpool in exactly the same way that you bring up around the challenges that a Liverpool mayor might bring in? But I'll take you back to a business perspective, and a perspective I heard from F.W. de Klerk. He was Nobel Prize winner. He was at the IFB last week, and he said something really interesting, and it resonated with me as a business leader from he's a political leader. He said, strong and powerful people surround themselves with a strong and powerful team.
Mm-hmm.
Weak people actually need a weak team.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's up to whoever the successful mayor is to surround himself with a strong team. Now that brings into a second question. Do you actually distribute that team into those other regions, or do you pick the best in class? That's a challenge for a politician, not for
okay.
me.
Great point. Joe, I know you want to come back on mental health.
I forgot social care and mental health and
yeah.
issues around that. Can I just say that clearly, you know, I set up, Janet made the point about engagement and civic engagement. You know, we used Michael Parkinson to have a look at how the mayor's operated. We've used Liverpool University to look at the environmental impact. We've set up mayoral commissions to look at a lot of things. And on health, Sir Ian Gilmore, a well-known Tory supporter, he won't mind me saying, did my health commission, and it was about breaking down the silos of health. And instead of the well-to-do, the elite, and I've said it to the faces, so I'll say behind them, the backs, the well-to-do who are directors of trusts, who are getting well-paid, want to keep them little silos.
Yeah.
We've broke that down now, and clinicians and the people that lead medical care are now shaping the debate. So we've actually got people working together. And what the devolution on health gives us is an opportunity to actually keep and retain the national in our health service, which I'm immensely proud of, but make sure that it works locally better. And that means, you know, in adult social care, you know, dead simple, isn't it? It costs, as you know, £500 to £600, even £700 a night to keep an elderly person in hospital. And the madness is, we can look after them in their own home and pay someone a living wage with skills of £400 a week to keep
yes.
them in their own home. Or we can have facilities that we can build that will look after them and still cost us less. And it's about investing in people, and it's about getting a return on that, whether it's training and having jobs and skills that look after people. So it means getting a better pound, you know, better bang for your buck, rather, out of using that money in a better way. And that's what's available to us. It might be new money,
yeah.
but it'll be able to shape and place shape. And in mental health, of course, jobs, opportunities, good housing, good communities, all adds to the strength of place and well-being, and tackles mental health as well, and supports mental health.
Great, thank you. I'm afraid we don't have time for more questions, partly because there's just so much to talk about. And I hope that some of you will be able to stay and have further conversations. This is very much the start, we hope, of conversations that will take place across the city region, actually across the country. This is a big moment in the way that the country is run. You're getting mayors, you've got city mayors, now we're talking about city region mayors. I think a lot of this debate has been about place shaping, it's been about vision for the future, it's been about making the most of a wider area. And I think it's very interesting. In London, Boris Johnson, for example, was elected from the suburbs as opposed to the centre. And it was kind of elected on an agenda that was about a whole city. And I think you'll see that more and more. This idea of an agenda for the city, a vision for the future, thinking about what matters, pulling things together so that you're wrapping services around people and around, you know, what you know about Liverpool City Region rather than Whitehall making those decisions. Making sure businesses are engaged and people are talking about this, thinking about those big issues. There's the economy, there's economic growth, but there's also making sure deprived communities are part of that. And I think a number of the issues we've touched on tonight, and I'm sure you'll continue to touch on, are about the people, making sure people have the opportunities, the jobs, the growth, and that people outside this city region and inside it know about the opportunities that are here. So it's clearly a big job for the Metro Mayor. High expectations, quite rightly, and a lot of people will be needed to make sure that works. But I've really enjoyed the discussion. Thank you very much for coming this evening. As I say, it's only the start. All our stuff is available on our website. We're keen to keep talking, but I hope you'll keep talking. In the meantime, could I ask you to just thank the panel for some fantastic people?